WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa is grinding across eastern Cuba as a Category 3, dumping torrential rain along the way. Jamaicans are dealing with mass destruction after it made landfall there yesterday as a Category 5.
Outside, it was horrendous. It was horrible. The sounds were terrible. That's probably the worst part of it.
President Trump backing Israel after overnight strikes in Gaza that health officials say killed 104 people.
They say it was sniper fire, and it was retribution for that, and I think they have a right to do that.
The president in South Korea ahead of a meeting with China's leader, a date Mr. Trump will not be making on his Asia trip, a get-together with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
We really weren't able to work out timing. We have President Xi is coming tomorrow, and that was something that obviously is very important to the world.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers are circulating legislation aimed at limiting certain fee increases on the livestock industry. If passed into law, the proposed bill would limit the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's ability to implement a rule change determining fees for animal market and dealer licenses, as well as animal transport vehicle registrations. The agency has previously proposed significant fee increases, one of which would raise the cost for an animal market Class A license from $420 to over $7,400. Governor Tony Evers has announced Wisconsin will join a multi-state lawsuit seeking to force the U.S. Department of Agriculture to release contingency funding for food share benefits. Due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, SNAP programs across the country, including food share in Wisconsin, are expected to see delays with benefits for the month of November. Last week, the USDA issued a memo stating that $3 billion of that contingency funding could not be legally used to address administrative costs and benefit payments during the shutdown. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and Xcel Energy have received an award to honor their collaborative efforts over recent years. On Tuesday, the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents presented UW-Eau Claire and Xcel Energy with the Regents Business Partnership Award. Officials say their collaboration provides students with internships, career opportunities, and more. The award also recognized Xcel Energy's work on the solar array that provides clean energy at the Sonnentag, the school's new $122 million recreational facility. Barron County 4-H is advising residents that the 2025 Barron County plat book is now available for purchase. The plat book is updated yearly to include things like property boundaries and topographical maps of the county. This year's edition also includes maps of area watersheds, school districts, recreational trails, and more. Area residents can purchase the 2025 plat book at a variety of locations, including the UW-Eau Claire Barron County campus and the County Government Center. The proceeds raised support youth in Barron County 4-H. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers drop Elijah Gray. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have released forward Elijah Gray from the men's basketball program. In a statement, the university says they cannot discuss the details of the case, only to say it was an incident before Gray transferred from Temple to Madison. Now, losing the 6'8" forward leaves a void in the Badgers lineup. On Monday, head coach Greg Gard talked about the new look to this year's roster.
From the beginning, I've liked how this group competes. You know, we scrimmaged Saturday. I've seen just the competitive nature of this group, and it's been different guys, different days. But we got to continue to get better on both ends of the floor, and you know, we'll use this week.
They host Campbell University Monday night. NBA, the Bucks with a 121-111 win at home over the Knicks. Milwaukee now 3-1 on the season. They host Golden State tomorrow night. Baseball, the World Series tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 tonight in L.A. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-50s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to around 33 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
5 o'clock, I'm joined by Rachel LaCasse Ford. She's a mom of two and a small business owner. She discusses her personal struggles to find affordable health care and what the ACA subsidies mean to her and her family.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
On a Wednesday morning, welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this October 29th, 2025. We will be talking to Earl Ingram in a bit, Melissa Baldoff coming up with our climate check as well, and we'd love to have your input at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also just send us a text message through that number, or best of all, download that Civic Media app where you can call us from the app, you can send us a text message from the app, or you can record a voicemail, a voice note message on the app and send it to us as well. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 38. Today I have a doctor's appointment in Shawano and some errands to do. He goes on to say on YouTube that yesterday I went to the local library to look up information on their computer and download information for my notes for my Highway 29 scrapbooks. And he says, I'm one of the victims that is getting my SNAP benefits cut, and I've been working with Dr. Kristen Lyerly helping on SNAP program cutdowns to try to understand them. We all are, Rob, because those of us who have actually been there and still hold on to a shred of our humanity, decency, and in some cases, Christian compassion, understand what the issue really is here. And it is about politicians that are looking to essentially starve Democrats into submission so that they can jack up healthcare costs for everybody and protect health insurance companies. One of the people that frustrates me most is Congressman Derek Van Orden, who loves to talk about being raised by a single mom, being on food stamps, having to eat government cheese, as he puts it, and that he then made something of himself by going into the Navy and being a SEAL. And that's great for him. But he's now what I call a ladder pusher. He was able to climb the ladder that he did thanks to support from things like food stamps, now known as SNAP. And he's pushing that ladder away. I grew up with a single mom and on food stamps, and it wasn't her choice to be poor and be a single mom and to have my little brother have health issues that she needed to stay home and take care of him full time until he passed away at the age of 9. But there are people that would just sneer at her to go get a job. And eventually she did. Third shift overnights at a truck stop waiting tables while I watched my younger siblings. And then she got the next job and the next job after that and eventually got off food stamps. But it was a long, hard process to get there. And it wouldn't have been helped with politicians like Donald Trump, Derek Van Orden, and others pushing away what little bit of ladder that we had. That's my view on it. I'm betting Earl Ingram has a similar view, and he joins us now to talk about this issue and more. You can also catch him on the What's Going On podcast. Get that through civicmedia.us. Forgive the personal rant there, Earl. Good morning.
No, good morning to you, Pat. It's right on time. I, like you, I'm from a family of 13, and there was certainly a time in my life that we received some assistance. I think that if you look in the background of maybe 50% of the American people, at some given point in time in their lives, if they've lived as long as you and I, they had some assistance. There's a reason why those things were put in place. And I, what I don't understand the most, you know, Pat, is the difference between those people of today and those people of yesterday who understood that there's, you know, there but by the grace of God goes I. And, you know, you can't talk about being a nation founded under the Judeo-Christian ethic if you don't live up to that. And so I don't understand. You know, we're looking at children and the elderly who are on food share, who are going to be struggling to eat, Pat, in the wealthiest nation on earth. How can that, how can people sleep knowing that at the root, at the end of this, whatever their differences are, that, you know, we're going to starve out the American people? It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're on the lower rung, aren't you still Americans?
Yes. And that's the thing that, again, makes it tough for me to understand, but I will try. The closest that I can say is, you know, on the one hand, they're just sneering. There's what some people call the wars on the poors. But if I'm going to try to be fair, I'm going to try to say, well, some folks see it as tough love. And if your safety net is cut out from underneath you, well, then you're going to stop being dependent on government assistance and you're going to go get something that's out there. And yet I'd be the first to say, well, given that something like 70% of SNAP recipients are working and the rest are either elderly or disabled or children, maybe the bigger problem is that we live in a country where people work full time and still qualify for near poverty wages that deserve SNAP benefits.
You know, you just pointed out a conundrum. And that conundrum is, as you just stated, it's only going to get broader and wider because AI is going to claim many people who are in the workforce. If our nation doesn't figure this out, and it should be figured out, people should have value. The lives of human beings should have value. And I'm not the person who said that. He who created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof made that clear. But we continue to struggle with this. And I will tell you that seeing my community, and I'm sure communities all over this nation, mobilize and come together and say, you know, we can't allow human beings to starve in the wealthiest nation on earth. It makes no sense.
No. And by the way, never mind, you know, the people who've been on food assistance for, you know, for a longer term. Okay, that is a very genuine issue there. But let's look at some recent layoff announcements. When you mentioned AI, UPS is laying off something like 48,000 people. Amazon is laying off up to 30,000 people. Intel, 24,000. Nestle, 16,000. Ford, 11,000. Microsoft, 7,000. Paramount, 2,000. Target, 1,800 people. These are tens of thousands of people, not to mention all the federal government workers who are either going without a paycheck or being fired entirely. What do they think these tens of thousands of people are going to do other than notice who's cutting off their ability to afford food?
You know, Pat, that's a beginning of a long list of people who are going to be impacted and affected by AI. And so we must ask the question, what are those, as you just stated, what are those people going to do? I'll tell you what many of them are going to do. They've been law-abiding citizens. But the first law of nature is self-preservation. If they think people are going to sit back and starve in the wealthiest nation on earth, they're sadly mistaken. If their children are hungry, even the most, you know, law-abiding person isn't going to sit back and watch their families go hungry or homeless. They're going to do some things that just aren't right. And So they got you know, they got to take that into consideration right now and not, Pat.
No, and that's just the food end of things. Then there's the healthcare end of things, where again, with the open enrollment period starting Saturday and prices for just basic coverage under the Affordable Care Act going up by tens of thousands of dollars for many households, they're going to choose to go without health insurance because they can't afford it. And then something's going to happen and they can't pay the medical bills. Again, we are just setting the stage for rampant disaster here, but I don't want to get too far afield because you talked about the loss of the SNAP benefits. The community is, in fact, organizing. We are all looking for ways to help others.
Yeah, you know, it is disgraceful that we're at this point in time. And maybe there is some good from the perspective that I see it in a community mobilizing. And something I haven't seen in a long time. And I'm sure that mobilization is happening all over this nation, and sending a message to people, that the American people do matter. And so elected officials who are, you know, in the positions that they're in, you can't be so cold and so disconnected that you just turn your back on what is happening.
Yeah. So what kinds of things are people going to be doing then to provide that support? I hear about food drives that are going on. We've got an article on our website about ways that you can help as well. So we are about to see some of the better angels of our nature.
Yes. You know, donating money and you know, money going to places where people can go and get food. The food kitchens are going to. Listen, so what it really is, Pat, is we're really kind of recreating soup lines.
Yeah.
In essence, that's kind of what it is, right? I mean, they're not giving out soup, but there'll be people lined up, Pat, around corners mm-hmm. in 2025 looking for sustenance. I mean, come on, man.
It's amazing how far we have fallen from the strongest recovery after COVID of any developed nation to what this country's turned into in just 9 months here. We're talking to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Get it at civicmedia.us. Click on shows. And then you also had some thoughts about, generational change here. I, for one, have looked at, a lot of people who waited way too long to retire. There's still people in Congress in their mid-80s. And I'm more than happy to start to make way for the next generation that's coming up. But in other ways, sometimes this generation feels like it's being pushed off the stage, and we're kind of resisting that.
Well, that's exactly it, Pat. And I've talked about this for a long time, only I'm attempting to try to create some dialogue. It's been going on for far too long, and Generation Xers are saying to you and I and baby boomers, you've had your turn, literally. It's time for you to get out of the way. And I've heard these words, get out of the way and let us lead. And I've said to many of them, we're not in your way. You know, we're not stopping you from leading. It is your time now. It's clearly that. But I think it's foolhardy to totally dismiss people who've been at this and who've lived life and our experience. You don't want to hear anything that we have to say. That's foolhardy. I think that you and I certainly listen to our elders, and elders have some value. You know, I think, Pat, we've been here. We've kind of gone through the rough roads, and we can help. We don't have to be in the lead. And if I look in my city, the mayor is a young man, the county executive, these guys are in their 30s, young man, the chief of police, all these people are all young people. And so they're leading. The politicians are all young people. So I don't know what it is they're talking about.
No, I think we're already seeing people step up and leaving room for mentorship and coaching. And that's what we're looking to do.
Yes.
And you know, for those of us that want to play that role, but for those who want to lead, it is time to step up. We are ready for that. Earl Ingram has this and more on his What's Going On podcast at civicmedia.us. Earl, thank you so much. Have a great day out there.
You as well.
Bye. All right. Melissa Baldoff is coming up with our climate check. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 27th, Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed a proclamation calling the state's legislature into special session on November 3rd to consider congressional redistricting and a tax code issue. This follows weeks of lobbying by Trump administration officials worried that the GOP may lose control of the U.S. House. Indiana is already a very red state, with Democrats only holding 2 of 9 seats, District 1 in Northwest Indiana and District 7 in Indianapolis. Creating a GOP-leaning district will require cracking the existing districts and diluting liberal strongholds by adding Republican voters from adjoining areas. The Indiana Capital Chronicle reports that the state House has enough votes to pass a gerrymandering plan, but Senate leaders say they're still short of the votes needed. In Kansas, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly refused to call a special session for redistricting, but KCUR reports that Senate President Ty Masterson confirmed October 27th that he has the 27 signatures in the state Senate to activate a constitutional provision allowing the legislature to call the special session itself. But it's not clear if there are the 84 signatures needed from the House. The only competitive congressional district in the state, Congressional District 1, south of Kansas City, is held by Democrat Sharice Davids. We've linked to local reporting and the current congressional maps at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just about 8:23 now. Nice to have you back on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On this Wednesday morning, just absolutely heartbreaking images coming in from Jamaica, where we're seeing the first reports from the massive flooding, the landslides, and of course the wind damage from Hurricane Melissa, which, like so many other hurricanes recently, went from 0 to 60, or in this case, 0 to Category 5, in practically no time at all because of a changing climate that has led to conditions much more favorable for these storms. And yet, at a time when we need people better than ever before to help collect data and help out with the forecasting for things like hurricanes, you've got an administration that is firing probationary employees and massive early retirements through the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, the parent agency of the National Weather Service. Not exactly great time, but great timing, but we'll cover that more with Melissa Baldoff in our climate check this week. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Yeah. I, like you though, just absolutely heartbroken by what we're seeing, the devastation from Hurricane Melissa, and just seeing that storm, you know, intensify so rapidly. It doubled, the wind speeds doubled in less than a day. And like you said, that's just all the more reason that we need to have those experienced scientists and staff members at NOAA supporting the work and making sure that we're learning as much as we can and doing everything we can to, have that accurate data and to help folks. And then, you know, knowing on the back end now, that there are fewer resources for people when they are devastated by a storm like this. Obviously, this one's not hitting the continental U.S., but you know, we know that if a similar storm were to hit us and, you know, the end of this season or sometime next year, we'd have fewer resources for people recovering.
And by the way, fewer resources by choice. Okay. It was Donald Trump's choice to deny FEMA relief for public infrastructure in Southeast Wisconsin after the August flash flooding. It was a choice to make those cuts of people and of budgets and of relief. And I just want people to keep that in mind when they say, well, it's weather. What are you going to do? There are things you actually can do, both in forecasting at the front end and recovery on the back end, that these politicians are deciding that, you know, most ordinary Americans are not worth the trouble and not worth the expense. And that's a choice that people make, by the way.
Just like cutting off SNAP is a choice.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, one that for some reason they are proud of and should not be. Let's look for some good news where we can get it. And there's a headline in The Guardian: global renewable energy generation surpasses coal for the first time. Record solar expansion and steady wind growth driving a world shift away from fossil fuels in 2025, according to a new report by the climate think tank Ember. Melissa, thank you. I needed some good news, and that definitely qualifies.
Yes, this is really wonderful news. You know, the one caveat I will say is that, you know, we are not the drivers of this in the U.S. China and India are largely responsible for that increase in renewables because the U.S. And Europe are still relying on fossil fuels. But this is a really important shift globally, and one that, you know, is going to continue. You know, it's going to be unfortunate that for the next couple of years, the U.S. will not be helping to drive that in the same kind of way because the federal government hasn't supported us anymore. They've taken away that support for folks. However, we're still seeing the market drive that even here. You know, these are, you know, people are interested in putting solar panels on their roofs. You know, businesses and churches they're looking at ground source heat pumps. Our schools are doing this. So we're still seeing that that shift because people know it's the right thing to do and they know it's going to save them money. So, you know, we're going to continue to see this growth and these surges really by people who are choosing to use clean energy.
Right. Yeah. In the numbers, renewable energy contributed to 34% of all global electricity generated, while coal fell to 33%. So again, still too much, but moving in the right direction. I wish electric bills were moving in the right direction, but apparently power bills are surging in the country. Utilities are still seeking higher rates anyway, Melissa.
Yeah, they are. You know, this is something that, you know, people, because of the decisions that we have seen from Donald Trump and his administration and the MAGA Republicans in Congress who support that agenda, we're seeing all kinds of prices go up. We know food costs are higher, so people are paying more on their grocery bills. You name it, the healthcare premiums are about to go up for folks. So really, they're increasing costs across the board. And also in utility bills, residential rates have risen really fast across the U.S., more than 30% on average since 2020, and about double the rate of inflation in the past year. And, you know, that's an impact on everybody. That's tough for anybody to stomach that big of an increase. That's really difficult on a budget. And, you know, we know that this is something that has a direct relationship to the choices that are happening in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
That we're moving in the wrong direction. You know, the cheapest and cleanest sources of energy are renewables.
That's right.
And, you know, instead of making the investment there, we've got the president, you know, dishonestly saying that those are the cause of the high prices, and they're not.
Taking us back. Melissa Baldoff with this week's Climate Check. Melissa, thank you very much for a little good news. I appreciate it.
All right.
Take it where I can get it. Exactly. We'll come back with more after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Xcel Energy officials are reminding residents to get caught up on their utility bills or work out a payment plan with their provider before the winter heating moratorium begins. Starting Saturday, utility companies will be prohibited from disconnecting heating services for non-payment. They are not, however, required to restart services for residents who have fallen behind on their bills. Anyone with outstanding utility bills should contact their providers to make payment arrangements or apply for financial assistance before the winter moratorium begins. Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to increase the number of apartment buildings with fire sprinkler systems. The package of bills would create a $10 million grant program for landlords to install the fire sprinkler systems and allow local municipalities to pass ordinances requiring apartment buildings be equipped with the sprinklers. Another bill in the package would require the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services to conduct an audit to identify how many buildings do not have sprinkler systems. The Menominee Farmers Market is reminding residents that their indoor markets will begin operating this weekend. According to a press release, the indoor market will be open from 9 a.m. to noon on the first and third Saturdays of the month between November and April. In addition to providing residents with an opportunity to support local farm producers, the markets will also feature live music at the Raw Deal in downtown Menominee. In addition to locally produced food, residents can also find things like handcrafted gifts at the market. Lutheran Social Services has officially started renovations at the former L.E. Phillips Treatment Center for Substance Abuse in Chippewa Falls. The treatment center closed last year, leaving a significant gap in access to substance abuse care in the area. Earlier this year, Lutheran Social Services purchased the property and began planning the renovation project. Organization officials say when construction on the renovation is completed, the treatment center will be able to offer 50 beds at a time for area residents struggling with substance abuse issues. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell or High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-50s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to around 33 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know, of course I did. I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity.
But well, you can guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah. Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more data centers want to move to Wisconsin and more Wisconsinites are concerned. We talk to Clean Wisconsin. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
8:35. Welcome back. Pat Kreitlow here. Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2. And without a guest for this segment, the phone lines are available at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So many subjects that we've covered. If somebody wanted to weigh in on any one of them, they could. Or perhaps best candy, worst candy for Halloween. Ooh. What do you really want to get, or what do you like to get? And what have you really hated to receive? Now, I have to take the worst one off the list because we've already mentioned popcorn balls. They're so dumb.
I'm not as big against popcorn balls as you.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I think they're fine.
Maybe they've made them better with like flavor or something like that, where it's not just biting into an old styrofoam ball, you know? All right, well, maybe. So what would be the worst thing that you could get in the candy, you know, Halloween treats thing? I'm not talking like a, you know, a live rat or something like that.
Well, a live rat wouldn't be good. That would, yeah, that would kind of rain on my parade a little. Not a licorice guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Licorice.
There
we go.
Do it for me.
Tony on YouTube, popcorn balls are gross. Thank you. Yes.
All right.
He also says in lieu of a guest, I want a monologue about Derek Van Orden. What's he been up to recently? I feel like I haven't heard much about him. Trust me, I can do that. I'm capable of that. He also says candy corn is the worst.
Also a wrong take.
I had to acknowledge I've come off of my all total hatred of candy corn. Once I realized that, you know, you take a couple of candy corns and a handful of peanuts and you've got basically a salted nut roll or a payday bar. Yeah. And that's actually pretty good. Tony, give that a try. Let me know what you think. So best candy, worst candy, or other thing to give out at Halloween. The best in our neighborhood was one of the docs in the neighborhood. He and his wife gave out full size candy bars and a can of Mountain Dew to every kid that came to the door.
That's going to turn some parents against you.
It probably did, but you know, I think he also gave a can of beer to the parents that came in too. So I think
he's making friends
to win them over. Yeah. Tony asks, how dare you grow and evolve as a person, Pat? I know. I thought I would hate candy corn forever, but wouldn't you know, just one little thing takes care of it. We'd love to get your thoughts on best candy, worst candy, because there's still time for you to stock up. There's still time for me to finish off this bag of Kit Kats and have to get something else that's out there. We will see, especially since now with the new coffee pot. If you missed it earlier, I had a new coffee pot shipped same day, got it late last night so that I would still have my coffee this morning. And as I said before, the best thing to have at the end of the show here is with an empty coffee cup, but you still got the aroma of the coffee in there. You put a little splash of milk in there and you have your Kit Kat bar. And you understand why earlier in the show, Parker and I were talking about maybe we need a workout routine after the show. Maybe we should actually exercise instead of sitting around drinking, having candy bars at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know.
It could probably do us. I don't know about wonders, but.
Now look at this. Tony's saying Baby Ruths are the best. Well, Tony, I got news for you. Take the candy corn that you hate so much.
Oh boy.
Take some peanuts and now put a couple of chocolate chips in there as well.
Oh.
You got a Baby Ruth. You got a Baby Ruth. Tony, you got to try this. You got to try it.
I haven't had a Baby Ruth in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So then he writes, look how exercise worked out for Dr. Lyerly. She needs new knees now. That is a very fair point.
That's
I got to say.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I'm doing. It's self-preservation. I don't want to wear my knees out, you know, or I could actually, you know, go downstairs to the treadmill, you know, when the show is done.
You could just do some walking. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Daily walks or, hey, let's hit the curls.
Anything, honestly, anything at this point would be an improvement on what we got going on. Coming up later today on Matt and Air on Air, Amy Barrio from Clean Wisconsin, Barrio. I keep getting her pronunciation wrong. I apologize. From Clean Wisconsin on at 9:35, and then at 10:06 this morning after the 10 o'clock news, Emily Cephos, chair of the Outagamie County Democratic Party and a candidate for legislature, will be joining Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. And then later this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show at 4:35, State Senator Sarah Kieski will be appearing. And as you might have heard Pete Schwabe say earlier during one of the commercial breaks, he will have Door County Trolley spooky storyteller Carl Soracki joining the show. So all that and more still ahead across the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, I was mentioning the cuts to SNAP, and earlier we had Ellie Bordeaux on talking about the newsletter and how you can help out with the SNAP cuts and support those whose food relief is about to be cut. And what can you do? You can contribute to food banks, and that would be extremely welcome, especially given what I told you about yesterday, the article from ProPublica that investigated and found out the tens of millions of pounds of food that was supposed to be delivered to food banks since May, but the Trump administration cut $500 million from a program that would have shipped surplus food and groceries to food banks. So all that food's just going to go to waste, and it won't go into the food pantries that are helping people who are not only losing their SNAP benefits, but as we talked earlier, they're losing their jobs. Tens of thousands of jobs are being cut by corporate America. In many cases, they're saying it's because of AI. It sounds like a very convenient excuse, rather than acknowledge that the economy is not doing well. You're looking at the Federal Reserve probably going to lower interest rates again today. Donald Trump has been bullying the Fed to lower interest rates, saying that it's going to, you know, stimulate investment in the economy. Well, yeah, remember why they cut interest rates? When the economy is weak. That's the problem. It's an acknowledgement by the President of the United States that he was handed the best economic recovery post-COVID of anywhere else in the world, and he blew it. He squandered it all the way with austerity measures and budget cuts, and now cutting off, SNAP benefits and jacking up everybody's health insurance costs. Anyway, earlier on the website, UpNorthNewsWI.com, I had an article about that, about essentially weaponizing red tape, whether you're talking for Medicaid or for SNAP benefits, all of these things that Republicans who love to tell you that they're against red tape, they have found a way to weaponize that red tape and force more families to go hungry. So you've got that article on the website, but then again, Ellie's new article on how to support people. There is, for example, the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. There's Feeding America. There's the Hunger Relief Federation of Wisconsin. That is a statewide association of independent food banks and pantries. There's the Second Harvest Food Bank. There's the Channel One Regional Food Bank in La Crosse and throughout western Wisconsin. The Feed My People Food Bank, which helps out in northern Wisconsin. And I've helped out the Feed My People Food Bank a few different times. And again, it is really something to, in our case, in our church parking lot, to see once a month the line of cars. It is an extremely long line of cars of people who need help. These are people who have jobs but have low incomes at their jobs, which is indicative of a larger economic and societal problem that we don't have time to get into right now. But for folks that are thinking, oh, it's just a bunch of lazy bums, I would urge you to come join me at one of these food distributions one of these times and talk to these folks for yourself rather than just the fairy tales that you're hearing on right-wing radio and TV. There's the St. Croix Valley Food Bank. There's Second Harvest Northland. And then finally, you can also dial 211 or text your zip code. It's a free and anonymous service that connects residents with local food programs and services. You can donate money. You can donate food. You can volunteer. The money is especially helpful. I mean, it's one thing to grab some old stuff out of your cupboard and go, yeah, see, I'm doing my part. It'd be another if you could actually write a check or make an online contribution to any of these places. And in Ellie's article on the website, all of those organizations that I just listed, those are in there as links. You can click on any one of them click on the link, it'll take you right to each of their individual sites so that you can learn the details on how to give. Because frankly, to maintain full funding of the program of SNAP benefits would require about $114 million per month, according to the Department of Health Services Secretary Kirsten Johnson. Right now, SNAP affects about 700,000 people in Wisconsin. Jim in Appleton on the text line points out, you keep talking about the tragedy of people losing their SNAP benefits, and it is tragic. Let's not forget about all the farmers and distribution centers that rely on the income SNAP provides them. Jim, that is a perfect point. And yes, I should have gotten to that earlier. We have already seen cuts in the programs that helped farmers by providing them with a local market. I mean, not everything has to go to, you know, Kraft or one of the other great big corporate conglomerates. It'd be great if more of Wisconsin's farmers had local Wisconsin markets for their product. And we've created programs that did that. And now the Trump administration is cutting them. There were, as you said, all the distribution centers, the grocery stores. SNAP, for every dollar that is invested in it, returns more than a dollar in economic benefits. Because again, as I just can't believe this has to be explained so often. When you give a dollar to a billionaire, and not even a billionaire, okay, let's just say it's somebody who's making $300,000 a year in Wisconsin, there's a pretty good chance that's not getting rolled back into the economy anytime soon. It's being put into savings. It's being spent on, you know, vacations and other things. You give a dollar to a struggling family, that dollar is going to be spent in the grocery store or in a local business. And then that local business is going to spend that dollar somewhere else locally, perhaps. And there is this multiplier effect. We have had no shortage of time to explain over and over and over again, trickle-down economics does not work. It is a fairy tale. And yet there are still people who believe, including every Republican member of Congress who voted for the big bloated boondoggle, that if we just give $4 trillion or more in tax breaks to corporations and the very wealthy, that that will create prosperity. Ain't going to happen. It's never happened. It's never worked. It never will. It would be far better to not worry about the supply side of economics and work on the demand side and stimulate demand. And by the way, even Donald Trump has talked about that, talking about, you know, these stimulus checks that would go out, you know, as dividends from all of his budget cutting. You notice you haven't heard anything about that lately? Because they buy into the fairy tale of trickle-down economics. Whereas what you really want to do is invest in the middle class. You want to raise up struggling families so that they can become self-sufficient. They don't become self-sufficient by kicking them off their SNAP benefits. All you do then is you make them hungry and desperate and more poor and in need of more help. And we as a country, we can do so much better than that. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota, including a little ex-legislator show and tell. Coming up after this, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Every time I turn around, my friends at Pure Talk give me one more reason to feel good about switching. This month, for instance, they're supporting Canines for Warriors, a terrific organization that trains rescue dogs and then pairs them up with combat veterans struggling with PTSD. The result? They're saving lives on both ends of the leash. This is why I switched to Pure Talk. I like being in business with an American wireless company who shares my values. Yeah, I appreciate unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $25 a month, and I bet you will too. But I think you'll really appreciate doing business with a company who gives back to the men and women who volunteered to defend our country. Just dial #250. Say micro. With Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team, you can switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, dial #250. Say micro. to switch to an American wireless company who actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, have you caught the new Raising Wisconsin video series yet? Check out Up North News social media, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And you will see more from Dr. Kelly Snooks, a pediatrician, in her Raising Wisconsin video series. Her next chapter coming up is all about measles and how to spot the signs of measles in kids, the early symptoms to watch for, and when to call your healthcare provider. And honestly, every time we do a story like this, my wife and I would just absolutely just shake our heads and cannot believe that we are living in an age where measles could be making a comeback. And how much longer will it be until we start to see more polio cases in this state? And on we go. So Dr. Kelly Snooks will tell us more about what to look out for in her video series. Check it out on the Up North News social media sites, Up North News WI. Search for that on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Again, 855-75-CIVIC, the phone number for texts or for calls, or you can use the comment section as well. Got somebody in the comment section, you know, asking or claiming that no Republican has ever proposed trickle-down economics. What, because they didn't say the words trickle-down economics? It's exactly what they're proposing. The big bloated boondoggle is trickle-down economics on steroids. And it didn't work in the 2017 bill, and it is not going to work in this bill. It is simply a massive transfer of wealth upward. And perhaps enough people have finally touched the stove and gotten burned to realize next year, maybe that's not the direction we should go in. All right, time to play a little show and tell here with Parker, because Mr. Olson's been playing wounded here. He's sick. He's under the weather. I thought I would entertain him here with a few things that I've gathered from the basement.
You're always entertaining, Pat. Don't worry.
I would debate that. But anyway, I had to go look for something in the basement and realize that there are boxes down there that really need to be opened, looked at, emptied, and thrown away for good.
Yeah.
And that included a box marked more Senate stuff, which is like, this is the leftovers of things from my time in the state Senate.
All right.
Turns out I was a very award-winning state senator.
I don't know if you know this. Wow. Oh, yeah. Look at you.
there are plenty of things like the Wisconsin Towns Association hereby recognizes State Senator Pat Kreitlow as a 2010 Friend of the Towns for his outstanding leadership and support in the 2009-2010 legislative session. And it says all that on a very traditional plaque.
Wow, okay? It's very shiny.
Very shiny, very traditional plaque. I've got a few of these that, you know, hung up on the wall at some point. Other places have figured out, we can't just do a plaque. We got to do more than that.
What's better than a plaque? So
here is a clear acrylic shape of Wisconsin with a cob of corn encased in the middle of it.
That's actually beautiful.
A golden ear of corn inside a clear acrylic trophy of the state of Wisconsin from the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association 2008 Leadership Award to Senator Pat Kreitlow. So again, they're like, hey, we don't need a plaque. All right. That's kind of unique. Okay. So then, of course, the Wisconsin Builders Association had to go one better. And what is this thing called? A T-square, I think. To write right angles on things. So it's a tool. It's basically something I could use in the garage. I've got a T-square already, and it doesn't get used enough. But this one has a little tiny plaque along the ruler. It's like a metal ruler built into a tiny level. And it says 2010 Friend of the Housing Industry, Senator Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin Builders Association. Wow. So I've got all these trinkets that I suppose I could put up, you know, somewhere or put in the bookshelf behind me. But I mean, what's a golden ear of corn and a large protractor basically from, you know, 16 years ago? What's that going to get me?
What's that doing for you today? Yeah.
I know.
They look good.
I will say there is one that I actually did put to use, and it's a shovel from a groundbreaking.
Yes.
It was from UW Stout, and I do not recall what the building was anymore, but as a member of the State Building Commission, I was out there for the groundbreaking, and it's just your standard, you know, little shovel, the little, you know, spade type, and it was painted a very bright blue, the shovel and the handle.
Sure.
And then using a wood burner or whatever, you know, etched into the handle was something about, you know, the Stout logo and the groundbreaking and everything else. And for a time, that too was on display. Like, hey, look at this. I got this shovel for, you know, helping make sure that the Stout campus is growing and can be healthy and everything else. Yeah. And then my time in the legislature was over. And at one point, I have a shovel exactly that size, and it was older, and it broke, or it got really rusty or something. Hmm. And I finally looked over at this other one.
I thought, you know what? I'm feeling kind of cheap today.
What else am I going to do with this? I mean, this is like in the category news you can use.
There you go.
These are awards that work. And so it's been used ever since. It's still over by the fire pit. And I am still very thankful for the folks at UW Stout for coming up with useful awards.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the other, I appreciate all of the other ones. I'm just saying that was kind of genius on their part. So
you always appreciate a trophy with a little utility to it.
Are we talking about, okay. I thought we were merging into like second marriages here or something. No, not that kind of trophy.
What?
No, sorry. Anyway, listen back. You'll know it's funny when you hear the tape. Anyway, tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to Ingrid Cunninger. She is with the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources, and we will be talking all about Medicare Advantage plans, which if you watch John Oliver this past Sunday night on HBO, went off on Medicare Advantage plans. They need to take the word Medicare out of there, because there's nothing Medicare about Medicare Advantage in the ways that they take, you know, money and then basically rip off seniors who worked, paid taxes all their life and thought they'd have the security of Medicare. But they don't when they choose these plans from private insurance companies. So we will talk all about that. Mr. Olson, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
You too. Bright and early tomorrow at 6 a.m. We will do the same for all of you as well. Catch what we're doing at upnorthnewswi.com. And again, sign up for those newsletters there. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you bright and early 6 a.m. here up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa has just been downgraded to a Category 2 storm hours after it made landfall in Cuba, flooding homes, littering streets with debris. The system tore through Jamaica yesterday with wind gusts of more than 200 miles an hour. Government Minister Matthew Samuda.
Well, immediate assessments, certainly since about 8 o'clock last night, have been to determine the communities that are most marooned, most cut off.
Israel says the ceasefire's back on after carrying out overnight strikes that killed dozens in Gaza. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
One missile hit a camp next to Aqsa Hospital in the center of Gaza, where patients and their families were sleeping.
The IDF accuses Hamas forces of killing an Israeli soldier. We'll hear from the Fed on interest rates later today. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
The Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates by a quarter of a point. It would be the second cut this year and bring the benchmark rate down to the lowest level since 2022.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.